Well, we had another week off, which is kind of weird. I feel like we've had multiple weeks off in the last month, but we're back with episode 501. The new chapter.
This is it.
Are we live?
We're not live. No. I mean, we're recording, but we're not live.
Oh, I thought that's what we're doing from now on.
Oh, live shows from now on?
We're taking telephone calls.
No, we're just switching
Seattle,
to cooking and recipe discussion. That's all we're going to do from now on.
Perfect.
I was going to say, do we know where 1,000, making 1,000 is going to be? Do we have, we booked the room
some
yet?
Some old folks home when we're all three in our separate homes.
And if we don't do something on the West Coast, people are going to flip.
That's true. But we'll be almost dead, so it won't really matter if they flip out.
We can move to New York. It's a little bit closer. It's one step closer. So we can make 1,500. We'll do it in Ohio.
We'll worry about that around episode 995.
Yeah,
sounds good.
About it then. Yeah, cool. What's going on? What's new?
I'm sending you guys pictures right now so we could have a discussion about what I was just telling you about. Ryan got a rush job in last week. Ryan, not too many people know Ryan. He's kind of behind the scenes. Ryan lives in my house for the last 6 years. We met in New York. He worked in my shop, and then he moved up here when I moved up here so he could work in my shop. And then his house got sold, so temporarily started living with me, and he's been living with me ever since. And he helps out in the shop. He also runs and does his own projects in the shop. And last week he got a really big job, a rush job, which involved a lot of elements of display. It's a fish festival or seafood festival, I should say. And all these elements came through one of his clients, and he asked me to help him build it. So we've been jamming overtime. The truck comes today at 6 o'clock to take all the parts away. And then it's out of my life. Ryan's going to follow it down to the city, and he's going to install it tomorrow. But there's a lot of elements. The CNC machine came in handy on this one. We made a lot of the parts on the CNC machine, but that being said, there's lots of painting, lots of handiwork. And so I've been jamming on that. So there's no video this week, but that coupled with right now Maker Camp, people are starting to roll into town for Maker Camp. And I've been busy at every end, also trying to get the house in order because the house fills up with people, and I'm trying to clean up the riffraff in and around the house. So I've been real busy. And in between everything, I'm doing this job. And we keep sharing all the different tasks, a little of this, a little of that. But it's coming together. It's coming together. And I'm going to send you guys pictures right now. So that's what I've been doing. I made a fake boat. Ryan designed this big wall, and we built this wall. It's going to be 10 feet by 20 feet. I've been showing a lot of this on my Patreon. And the wall is made up of flats, 7-foot-high flats. That's covered with this new aluminum that the sign maker suggested we use. Ryan figured it all out. And today, I'm really curious to see this process. Today at 2 o'clock, the sign shop is coming to apply this graphic to this wall. And it's 30 feet on one side and 30 feet on the other side. So it's 60 continuous feet of a decal of a big landscape of someplace in Finland. Like a seacoast. Send you guys pictures of it later. But I'm curious to see how these guys are going to apply a 7-foot-by-48-inch decal that continuously goes from panel to panel. So I don't know how they would do it. I don't know if they put it on it and then slice the line between the two. I don't know what's going to happen. But
that's what I would do.
So we're going to see that in a few minutes, a couple hours.
Will there be any YouTube videos of this, or is this completely outside?
I might do, I'm sending you guys a picture of the curve wall, the boat. I think what I might do is an exclusive video for Patreon, because I don't have like a complete linear beginning, middle, and end of this build. So I might, because Patreon's been seeing the pieces of it. So I might do that. That's my thought. Oh, and then also I put a floor in this week in the graveyard house.
So you've been a little busy.
I've been busy. I'll send you guys a lot of pictures to look at. So
yeah, it's going to be a big, huge relief when this truck takes us away and you don't have
Are you kidding? It's going to be like I handed in my term paper and I got an A+.
Nice.
Once it's down the road, it doesn't matter at all to me what happens.
Right.
My name isn't even associated with it. I just hope I get paid as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so that boat That'd build was fun. So I might do a video on the boat build.
This is cool.
Thank you. It's all cool stuff. Yeah. I must have pictures of the panels. We did all these panels. It was crazy, crazy.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. That's
that's pretty
awesome. That's a fake boat. That looks like a real boat.
It does look like a real boat. It's almost like you said it was fake just because you didn't want to, like, prove that it could float.
Right.
It would definitely float because I use all Total Boat products to seal all the cracks and everything just so it looked good. You know, I didn't want any open gaps. And where all the – it's an old school fishing boat where the planks are overlapping the planks below. So it looks like a cladded side of a house, for instance. And that creates plenty of gaps. And where they all come to the stem on either side, it's a symmetrical design. So the front and back are the same. Where all the planks come to the stem, it was a disaster because they all have to come perfect, but all those planks have to follow this curve. It was a total disaster, but thank God Total Boat gave me this thing called fairing compound, which is almost like auto body Bondo. I loaded it up with fairing compound, and then with the chisel, I was able to sculpt it in a little bit, and then with some dark stain, it's all kind of hidden. So at first glance, it's like, whoa, that looks really well, and you get up and you're like, look at all the mistakes he made, but that's all hidden in there. And I said, like I said to Ryan, I go, if they're looking at these mistakes, the seafood's horrible. So
what's this last photo where it looks like this little wooden key is holding things together?
Well, we were trying to figure out a concept how we could put up this 20-foot-plus wall and have each panel locked together. And so we're going to do that.
Okay.
So I came up with dog bones that would lay flat in the thickness of the plywood, and Ryan came up with this, which I think is the next best version of that idea, because these prongs will kind of lock in and taper as they lock up. And so he designed all this, and he uses SketchUp for everything. So he designed everything in SketchUp. And then we export the vectors. And so those flats, all the uprights and parts of those flats are all made out of Baltic birch, CNC'd out of Baltic birch, and they all nest and lock together. So when we assemble them, it was a quick assembly, somewhat quick. And then it got that material applied to each side. This material is like a foam core, but it's aluminum. So once you peel that protective coating off, these big decals will stick to it perfectly. They're big vinyls. It's like wrapping a car. It's the same type of sticker. So the printout prints out on this big sticker paper. And you try to apply it without putting any wrinkles in it. But like I said, that's going to be fun to watch that later today to see the sign guys do that.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to. And working, if you guys have the opportunity to get your hands on a Fireball steel workbench, nothing be like, you know, these guys say, oh, the Rubio double split table, woodworking table. I don't even know if I'm saying the name right. Nothing beats doing woodwork on a steel table. It's a flat surface. Yeah. It's like, you know, how you always have to go to your table saw to like make sure the all four legs, like here's the entire work surface is that it's like a work. It's like, what do they call that? A surface plate for a machine shop. So, and we were able to peg into the table. So I don't do too much woodwork on my welding table, but I just got this Fireball table in. That's why it's standing where the Mercedes used to be in this picture. Mercedes, I was in the horse barn because the horse barn finally got cleaned up. You know, when you do a construction project and all the debris and the flotsam and jetsam of the construction project just lingers forever, like bins of like outlets. And Bob, you're feeling that now. You're going to have like tons of piles and cutoffs, and you're like, I shouldn't throw those away. I might need them for something. And it's like 3 years later and they're all weathered and dirty from being near the outside. And you're like, I might still build a doghouse out of the rest of those 2x4.
This 2x4 scrap will be useful.
And so,
and then you always have a Mercedes in the way, Bob.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we cleaned out the horse barn. So now I got more room to park cars.
Do you have any more cars on the horizon?
Not at the moment. No.
Well, you're thinking about something now.
I don't believe that at all.
No, I might get rid of my 2018 and replace that. But, you know, I got to get healthy again financially. It's been a tough couple of years. It's been a tough few months, but I'll be okay. Remember I told you about that? Remember I told you guys about it? So it's been rough. It's the income isn't coming in the way it was. But the other day I got a fat check. And I was like, what is this for? I'm not owed any money. And I opened it up. And do you guys remember months ago, I told you about a brand deal that I had where the guy that was my champion left and the company is
I feel like that's happened to you like 10 times. I'm not sure when you're talking about, but
And so I got a fat check and it was all back pay from this company that I have a contract with. But that new guy literally wrote me an email and says, I don't have time for this. I'm not sure what you want me to do. They're paying me.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I'll do whatever you want. Is there anything you want to promote? Do you have new products, new product designs? Anything you want me to put in my lineup? Send me whatever you want me to do. And he wrote back, I don't have time for this.
Okay. So he just sent you money instead?
I don't think he knows. I think it's a different department.
Wow.
It's like office space. Like they just keep giving me one penny at the end of every day.
So that's it. You're done with that deal then, right?
I don't know. I might not be. I have no idea.
You might get another check.
I might get more. Right. I might get more.
Wow.
So it's not a tremendous amount of money, but you know, it comes in handy.
Yeah, money's money, though.
Especially when you don't expect it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with this big job me and Ryan just did, I'll have rent for like the next 2 weeks, so I'll be okay.
Two weeks.
That's all the further you think ahead.
Yeah. You know, it's we could discuss more of like juggling in the after show, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah, juggling when you put your hat on. There are times where I pay my electric bill and I go, that's it. Every light gets turned off. You know, like we joke, say like our parents would do that. I totally do that. My electric bill's like into the hundreds, sometimes thousands a month because I pay electric on 6 electric meters. I'll explain how that happens later. I'm like, that's it. I like went around the house. I turned off every random light. I have like lights in bedrooms that I haven't turned off in 2 years. I'm like, I'm turning every light off. And then my next electric bill was like a couple hundred dollars shy. I was like, see?
Yep.
And slowly all the lights get flicked and left on. I leave my porch lights on 24 hours a day, so I don't have to remember to turn them on when the night comes.
Timers, man.
Timers. I wouldn't even know where to put it in because all there is pipes and a light switch.
You just put it in the switch.
What switch?
See, okay. That's a legitimate improvement. No, hang on. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm saying finding a sponsorship with the company that you've worked with before to replace all of those switches with timed or like IoT switches or whatever that could be set on schedules, that would legitimately save you money and make you money because of the sponsorship. But
well, you know what? Patrick just put an electric eye on the horse barn because I flipped the light because I really like when the lights are on at the horse barn. It gives me something to go and I walk back there. Otherwise, it's pitch black. So we have all the big steel lighting with the metal hoods and it really lights the back area up nice. So I would just leave the lights on all the time because I would never remember to go in and turn them on. I'd have to like fumble through the dark to turn on just to do something out there. Anyway, now it has an electric eye. So at dusk, they turn on. In the morning, they turn off. So there's a couple of those around the property, but. Yeah. I'm kind of half joking though, but when it comes to like lights in the house and bedrooms, and I'm like, that's the third floor. That's like such a far walk. I'm like, just leave the lights on. There's like one of the lights in the bedroom's been on for 4 years.
It's just costing me hundreds of dollars to leave that on, not walk up the stairs once, but whatever.
No, you know, when I used to Airbnb the house, and on the third floor, all four of the bedrooms on the third floor are electric heaters. So one winter. I was like, why am I getting an electric bill into the $500? And they're like, she's like, do you have electric heaters in the house? I'm like, yeah, on the third floor, but nobody's been there. She's like, you better go check next time you're there. When I got to that, the electric heater on the third floor was on for like 3 months. Because I didn't realize it. And I was just like paying the bill. I didn't realize it. And then I was like, wait a minute. I haven't done anything there last month at all. Nothing. Like, why is there? So I got to watch out for that type of stuff.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's what I've been up to. Just working and. I'm working.
Well, David, you've had a successful video release, I think, since we talked last.
Yes. It feels really good to make something that I want to make that is totally for me and is kind of based on being an art project, and the video did well. It was like complaining a lot about, you know, 10 of 10, which is a bad video. And this one was a 1 of 10. Thank goodness. And it brought in for me, this is really good. It brought in 4,000 new subscribers in 1 week just from this video alone.
My subscriber count based on my last video too. I haven't looked.
Oh, I'm in the negatives.
What?
I'm in the negatives.
Anyway, oh, so my last video, I went from, and you guys could explain to me how this works. Sorry to hijack your conversation, Dave, but I went from 600 negative to now I'm 300 negative. So my last video did really well. Made me negative 400. I don't understand how that happens. Hmm. What that even means, but go ahead.
So it got shared on some synth Reddits and so I took a Casio Kids keyboard and then gutted it and made it into something else. And so it brought in a lot of new subscribers, which when you have a 10 of 10, a terrible video, there's this pressure on you to correct that on the next video. You're right. Okay. You're like, you're depressed for a week and then you're like, okay, we got this. We're going to come back strong. And there's this pressure on you to fix it. Now, this video brought in 4,000 new subscribers, and there's a lot of people that says, this is my first time seeing your channel. This is awesome. Subscribe. Lots of those comments. So now there's this pressure on me to recreate that video for my next one. And I've been just thinking about it. I'm like, can I just make a video without pressure? Like, there's pressure when it's bad. There's pressure when it's good. I don't know. This is just how I choose to live my life, but yeah, it feels really good. And so I really, really enjoy taking something and turning it into something else or doing some sort of mod to an existing thing.
Weren't you sitting on this piece for a minute before you finished the video?
I did. I started it back in the spring and then shelved it because I wasn't feeling it. And then once I had the clear vision, and the tools, actually, I was able to produce what I wanted to make. So I tend to lose interest in projects in the middle all the time. And this one is one of those projects, but I'm glad I came back to it.
Yeah. That's great. Just to show you, everything had some value.
Before we recorded, but it was really fantastic. Like, I think it's probably one of your best videos, best projects. It was great. It was really, really
Thank you. So the next video the video that I'm filming this week. So speaking of losing interest in the middle of our project, I started this big cassette thing and then I hit this like, okay, now I have to switch gears and do this other thing to it. I'm like, I'm not into it right now. So I shelved that. I'm going to come back to that a few months from now and it will be a big hit. Maybe that's my new formula.
There you go.
So the big cassette is just, I'm still slowly working on it. I'm still trying to find the clickable angle because right now I like it visually, it looks good, but I don't know if it's like worth the click, if that makes sense. So a couple weeks ago, I was driving home at night and there was this office chair, like a padded, it's not like a desk chair, but like a old,
yeah, like an Eames
70s
chair?
Or 80s, like padded chair that you would see maybe around in a waiting room. It had a cool metal frame, but the upholstery was all torn up. And I immediately like turned around in my truck, went back and got it. It was sitting on the side of the road. And this is at night. So I'm trying to get some iPhone footage of me grabbing it. And then I'm setting up the iPhone in the bed of the truck on the drive home to grab footage of it and everything. And so I am removing all the upholstery and I'm going to, it's going to remain a chair, but I'm going to try to it's going to be a completely different chair. And so that's what I'm working on now. And so it could be, it's one of those, like, you don't know the outcome. You don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know. You're just kind of working on the fly. So maybe this comes out next week. Maybe this comes out next month. We'll see, but that's what I'm working on.
Awesome.
And then I guess I'll share this now. I haven't done any work over the last week because we sold the rental.
Oh, yes.
I have, there was just so much more work to do for it to be rentable. Like, I made a lot of furniture, but there's a lot of behind the scenes off camera work that needed to be done. And I've just been feeling a lot of overwhelm lately. And so we sold that and we bought a different one. But this one, is more of a vacation home. It's not like a home in a neighborhood. It's in Brooklyn, Michigan, which is a beautiful little town in Michigan, and it's just full of lakes everywhere. And this one is on a channel that connects to a lake. So it's more of a destination place. And this place, the owners left everything. Beds, furniture, sheets, towels, pots and pans. And they used to rent it on Airbnb up until they sold it to us. So it is ready to go on Airbnb right now. No, we don't have to do any work.
Have you put it on Airbnb yet?
No, we are still working out some things.
Right.
We're trying to decide on some things, like whether we want to manage it ourselves or use a management company. Eventually, we want to use a management company for, but down the line, because I don't want phone calls at 3 a.m. saying, "Hey, blah blah blah, something happened." And there's we're just trying to get our things in order. So this is a business that my wife and I, this is a totally separate business, has its own LLC that we're kind of setting up. So we're doing all that behind the scenes stuff. And right now, it's October, so it's not really boating or vacation season. So I think the plan is to like get all of our stuff in order. And then by Memorial Day, I'm just making updates here. We haven't actually discussed this, but by then we'll have it going and ready to go. But the cool thing is, we got to meet the previous owners at closing, and they gave us a tour of the house, and they answered all of our Airbnb questions, and they gave us all kinds of tips, and stuff. And it's a small place, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's on the water. It's more of a destination place. It's not in the middle of town like this other house that we just sold. And it's ready to go. The one thing now is some of the furniture that I made for the old house doesn't quite fit because there's a very lake feel to this house. So I don't know what to do with some of that furniture. And then
I'm picturing like a craftsman style, kind of like similar to that sign you recently made. Is it something like that?
It's more of a, think of live, laugh, love type, you know, those signs that you barf every time you see them. It's like that, but it says like lake life, and there's all kinds of like nautical anchors and stuff, decorations all over the house. And it's kind of like a blue gray on the inside. So it's very watery, very vacation-y feel to it. And so to make furniture for this place, I kind of have to rethink my design and build things that I wouldn't build for something here in my home. So maybe that mid-century style is just not going to work, or I have to figure out how to blend lake life and mid-century modern with some of these pieces. But
at the same time, though, it's like you said, it's a business venture. And so it doesn't, are you hoping that it will become an expression of you eventually, or is it just kind of a separate thing?
So that was the original plan with the first rental. Like, it was going to be a gallery of my work, and you could stay there and you could look at all the pieces. Some of those pieces would be for sale. This one still will be that, but since it's already furnished and it's already ready to go, that pressure to make all that furniture has gone away. I can make a piece one at a time when it feels right. And so that is the plan. So when it goes up on Airbnb, it's my viewers who wanted to stay at the other place, there's not going to be a lot for them to look at as far as like projects that I made, at least not at first, but eventually over time. And it has a detached garage, which I'm going to turn into my second shop, which I did at the first rental. And we were going to do these Airbnb experiences where you could pay extra and we could build a project together. This garage is a two-car garage, so there's a lot more room, where the other one was real small and it was just a one, like a one bay garage. So it's definitely more of a risk. It's an hour away. It's way more expensive. It's But we think, you know, if we do our calculations right, that it can be paid for through Airbnb and eventually, like, we're not going to make a lot of money on it. Like, it's, you can't make a living off of one Airbnb.
Right.
But if we can get it to pay for itself and then bring in the experiences where you build something with me in the shop, and then we'll see where it goes. But it's pretty exciting. It's really nice. And it took a, just this huge weight off of me of like, I don't have to do all of this stuff right now. When do I find the time?
Yeah. Well, and like, I remember when you all first started talking about getting a rental place, the whole idea was a lake property.
Originally, the whole idea was a lake right? property.
And yeah, we looked so that's in this feel good to get back to like your original plan. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the original plan. And every time we bid on a house and we would put in an offer at asking, we always got outbid every single time. So it was an hour drive up north, check out a few places, pick one, put in our offer, drive all the way back, and then find out we got outbid by somebody who had more money. And it was really exhausting mentally, just that all that driving back and forth. And then we just decided, let's just get something here that's close by. And then like, I'm going to make a video on this, but I don't know how to shoot the video. So the rental that we just sold, it's no longer in our possession, but I did shoot the first half of the video of saying, this is all the stuff that we made. This is all the stuff that I still had to make. This is why it wasn't ever going to work, because it didn't really feel like a getaway place. And it was in, and it was in Toledo. Like, there's things to do in Toledo, but you're not going to come to Toledo to stay at this place. And so I shot that first half of the video. Now I need to go to the lake house and shoot the second half of the video, but I don't know how to frame it without, I don't want to, I understand the privilege of having a vacation home. Like, we grew up, like, I qualified for free lunches in school, and we got, in the 80s, we got government cheese. I know that's like an old comedian joke from back in the day, but we actually got government assistance. And so I understand not having things. And now I have this crazy privilege of that's having right. two homes. And so I don't know how to make the second half without sounding like it's a brag and to come across the right way. And, you know, this house, we are going to use it as a vacation home. We are going to let our families stay there. And, but it is an investment into our future. It is like, this is.
No doubt. Yeah. No, I was going to say something. I was going to, I'm sitting here listening to you tell this story about how you took the time and energy and risk to buy a house. And the way I think of things is like, I got it. That's it. I'm not going to change anything. To get to this hurdle was so complicated. But the fact that you got the house in the beginning, and then you made the decision, this isn't really what I wanted. Let's try and up the game again. Let's really try and get to what we really wanted. And you mm-hmm. really took the initiative to shift gears, sell that house, and get the one you really wanted. I think there's a lot in that. Whereas like, buying a house is so complicated. I know from yeah. my own experience, it is so complicated. If you're not with somebody that is competent and helping you through it, holding your hand. In my case, I bought it from a credit union, and I knew all the people that knew me since me and my family were young. So everybody at the credit union knew my dad by first name and my mom and everybody. So when I bought this house, I bought it through a credit union, and they made it so easy. It was like dealing with my family. And I could imagine you and Kelly together are competent enough with each other to be able to put something like this together. But buying a house is so complicated that if you get it, you'd be like, okay, I'm just going to settle. Even though this isn't exactly what I want, I'm just going to live with it. But yeah. you took the initiative to be like, you know what? Let me get what I really want. Life is short. Let's do what we really want. And you got what you really wanted. So I think there's a good storyline there to say that.
Well, and I was going to say, like, I think to your point of not wanting to brag, I feel that because every time I do anything, I get something new, I build something new, I have this tendency to not like to worry about it sounding braggy. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to. Like, I was really hesitant to talk about putting in the pool because it sounds like I'm showing off, and that's not at all the intent. But so I get that feeling. And I think, you know, the fact that you're aware of that feeling probably will make it a lot easier to naturally not brag and not sound braggy. But I do think it's also an opportunity to maybe point out, like, you know, we are spending our own money investing in a thing mm-hmm. for our future. Yes. We're trying to plan ahead, not because we have so much money floating around that we just like gotta spend it on a house, you know. it's not right. that. And I think you could easily say that because most of the YouTube, like, you know, rich kid blogger type videos are like, hey, check out my new $8 million house I bought with my AdSense money, whatever. And, you know, they're throwing that around like, I just had so much money, I had to pour it into a mansion. And that's one attitude to have towards it. Very clearly, you are looking at your future after YouTube, and you are taking what you've worked hard for, and you're trying to invest it to safeguard your future. And that yeah. is a totally different way of thinking about what you've been blessed with than,
I just got to spend all this money and show
right,
off,
right. you know? Yeah. So and I think, yeah. so I understand the tendency to not want to brag, but I think just the situation, the reality of what you've done and what you're trying to do for your own, you know, longevity and future and stuff, I think is very different. So I wouldn't worry too much about that because I don't think you're not that type of person to brag. And so I think the tendency to think about that is probably a bigger deal than the reality of bragging. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. It's there's certain videos that you make and you know there's going to be a little bit of backlash. Yeah. And so then you say or you do things to try to combat that. Like, and it doesn't work. It never works. And you're still going to get that those negative comments. And so I think I just need to be mentally prepared that there are going to be people who don't understand, and that's okay, that what we're trying to do.
I think you can, I mean, I know you well enough to know that the way that you say things is humble. And I think as long as you are going about it in a natural way, it's not going to sound braggy. And anybody that creates, you know, jealousy or whatever around whatever you say, that's really not on you. I mean, I wouldn't worry about it, you know. But I definitely feel that. And I think one of the things that I do that I would warn you against is like overcompensate for those potential comments. Like be overly apologetic for what you've been given and what you've worked for. And, you know, I do that all the time and I hate that about myself, but I kind of want to cover my butt, you know, and like not sound like, you know, but yeah. I overdo it. So, and I have people call me out for that and stuff. They're like, you know, why are you like trying to justify things that nobody's even complained about yet? I'm like, well, I need to do that. So,
well, anyways, guys, I've got a 1 of 10 video and I got 2 houses. So
that's awesome.
Thank you,
happy
guys.
For you.
Is it on Lake Erie or is it on a small lake?
It's on a small lake. So okay. Actually, it's on a Sorry, channel Bob. That connects to a lake. So okay. The windows overlook, and it came with docks. It came with 2 docks. So we could
2 houses and 2 docks. Oh,
I know.
Goodness.
We could get all the boats. We don't have boat money yet. So it also came with kayaks. So we took the kayaks to one of the lakes. So it connects to 2 lakes. One of the lakes is more of one of the lakes is a party lake, and it's the big lake around the area. It's called Wamplers, and there are jet skis and speedboats, and there's lake rules where you can make as much noise as you want, but at like 7 o'clock you have to no mm-hmm. wake, no motors. And then it connects to another lake, which is not a party lake, and it's more like it's just kind of like a scenic fisherman-y type thing, and it's really cool. There's some restaurants that are on the lake, so you can actually paddle to a restaurant and dock your yeah, boat. Cool. It's just a really, really cool area. It's And in this town, in this area, it's called Irish Hills. The whole area is called Irish Hills. There's just dozens and dozens of lakes. I heard a fact. Well, I heard a statement. It might not be a fact, but in Michigan, you're never than more than 6 miles away from a lake.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's true, but I saw it in a Facebook post. So it's got to be true.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's great. I was going to make a joke saying, speaking of 1 of 10 videos, I had the opposite. I had a 10 of 10. And I was talking to my family about this the other day, my parents and my sister. And because they both listened to the show, they were both at the 500. All three of them were at the 500 event. And they asked me about the 10 of 10. And I realized that only people who make YouTube videos may understand what we mean when we say 10 of 10.
That's why I keep saying good or bad.
So a little brief explanation for anybody that doesn't know what that means. On the dashboard of YouTube, when you upload videos, it shows you ranking by views of the most recent video. And it shows the previous 10 videos and which your newest video is ranked within those 10. So 10 of 10 is the bottom of that last 10 videos. 1 of 10 is the top, the most viewed.
And it gives you the performance hour by hour, minute by minute.
Yeah, it changes constantly at, you know, from when the video was launched over the next 24 hours, how does it compare to the other ones in their first 24 hours? It's that kind of comparison. So when we say 10 of 10, it is the worst of the last 10, whereas David was the best of the last 10.
Not like an Olympic scoring where they hold up a sign saying 8.7.
So my noodle grabber, I did not expect the video to do well at all. Like, I know that that's a silly thing that nobody, but I almost thought it's just silly enough that maybe people would be curious about it, but turns out I was very wrong. And it's like,
I was very wrong.
It's like views are down by 50% kind of wrong. Like, it's seriously bad.
Yeah. Which, and then they put that little like line in and it's like, you should consider a different career. You know, it's like the views are down. It actually says it on the YouTube page.
Well, I mean, it is interesting, you know, to look at their description of why it's not doing well. You know, sometimes
this video sucks. You should really just make a better video. Like, that's what the AI tells you.
This one did badly.
It will say things like, your audience is choosing not to watch this videos.
Because you suck.
Yeah.
Because they're bored with you. Yeah, but that's one that got, you're talking about the subscriber count. Usually in my videos, the first, you know, hour or so, the subscriber number will go down because people are like, oh, I don't like this guy anymore. This is not interesting. Mm-hmm. Or for whatever reason. But then it goes back up. Well, this one just went down. So I'm at negative 11 subscribers for that video.
Wow.
Whatever. Yeah. But the reason I was bringing that up is because you were talking about there's a pressure after you release a video, you know? And when I've had videos that have done poorly in the past, I'm always disappointed that they don't do well, but I don't feel like it's affected me past like the morning of. I'm like, well, that's a bummer, you know, because I'm always moving on to the next one. I'm already working on the next video when something comes out, or at least one, maybe two. And so I don't really think, I have not thought that it affected me very much. But this one came out on last Saturday. I always check it a couple hours after it goes up to see if, you know, how it's doing or whatever. And then I don't like look at the comments at that time. I just kind of like see how it's doing and then I move on, and then I'll check it a couple times more that day. Try to change the thumbnail and title if I need to. So I checked it. It was doing poorly. I went on and I noticed on Sunday afternoon and even Monday morning, I was like feeling not depressed, but just kind of like, just kind of meh about everything. Mm-hmm. And nothing else in my life was going wrong, was bad or different or anything, but it just had this kind of malaise around, just like, this is all just kind of blech. And I realized from going back and looking at it that something about that not doing well just kind of dampened everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I wasn't particularly attached to that video or anything. So it's not like it's a different thing that didn't do well. But I think something about it not doing, like really not doing well, like it's lower than other things that have not done well. That just kind of made me second guess myself.
It happens every time. You start thinking like, maybe I could start like a fence insulation business.
Yeah.
Weird the impact that has on you.
Every time.
I don't like it. I don't like that anything has that kind of power over
thick skin for you too.
Over my emotion or over how I look at myself. I really don't like, and I don't think, that's maybe a whole another conversation, but I don't think that or anything like that should have that kind of effect on any of us. None of us should care about this type of stuff that much. And I wasn't conscious of it. You know, I wasn't like I was on Monday morning like, oh man, that video really made me bummed out. It wasn't that. I was sitting there kind of bummed out trying to figure out why. Like, what is going on? Like, nothing is really different. And then I sat down at my desk and I saw that number again. I'm like, man, it's still 10 of 10. That's why I feel this way. And so I had to make a specific decision to like, I gotta let go of that. I gotta move out of, you know, whatever that was and just start working and just start moving ahead. But it was just kind of a weird thing that I noticed over the weekend. And I think maybe the opposite has happened and I've not been aware of it, where if something does really well, I'm like, all right, you know, things are good. Like
right.
Everything, you know, I'm like, and I just don't put that together that I'm letting it affect me in the positive way as well. And I'm not even sure that that's a positive effect to have on you if you right. start feeling really good about yourself because of what a bunch of strangers decided to like on a given Saturday. Like, that's probably not great either. So I don't know, some weird realizations around that, but I'm going to try really maybe hard there's, not let that performance have any effect on me. You know,
maybe there's a topic for another episode in there of emotional attachment to what you're working on. And like, even if you're working on something for a client, and you put all this time into it, and then you receive, this is great, but how that but
yeah.
can affect right. you yeah. know, so
how that but can affect you. That's a great title right there. So the other thing that came up in this few days of whatever I was feeling was thinking about, I think ahead of time, I knew that was a dumb idea. It was a silly reason for me to try a couple of new techniques that I had no experience with. And I think it was still beneficial for me in that, you know, so like whatever. But I think there was part of me that just kind of assumed I'm making something so big and silly that there will be a level of interest just because it's, you know, there's like an extreme.
Colossal.
Yeah. There's like a thing that's abnormal about it that maybe will draw people in. And so when it didn't, I was thinking about that and thinking back on the other, not many projects, but few projects that I've done where I've thought ahead of time that it could rely on being out of the ordinary, being different, being big, being something like that, thinking that that would be enough to draw somebody in. And it never has. For me, I was thinking about specific videos like the Optimus Prime head. I thought was really cool. It was a lot of fun to make. I loved it. It didn't get people's attention. Nobody was curious how something could be that big and be wearable and be whatever. There's a couple other things like that that just I thought the hook was the grandiosity of it or size or something, and it never has been. Whereas a lot of other people, that's like their thing. You know, they are really good at making things oversized, extreme, overdone, overbuilt, and that's enough to hook them in. But I think for my channel, my audience, it's just not the thing that grabs them, which is totally fine. But I'm glad I had that realization, because hopefully next time I have this kind of idea, I'll pause on it and be like, that's not enough. So I need another, I need another hook that is... It's like trying to hook the wrong kind of fish, you know, like I can't hook a shark in a lake. My audience is a lake, not the ocean. Mm-hmm. So I have to bait. That sounds terrible, but you know what I mean? I have to get their attention. I have to get their attention, not just like general fish attention. I have to like point at my audience, which is difficult. But anyway, so there's some good realizations that I think that came out of something doing poorly. and I've moved on past it and everything. But it's been easy to move on past it because I've actually been working on several other things. So the pool house, I don't know when the last time we talked about it on recording, because we've been off for a couple of weeks, but I've got the pool house completely framed up.
Well, you got a pool and a house. Interesting.
And all right, Mercedes. I've got it framed and sheathed. And then over the last couple of days since this video came out, I've got the roof framed up completely. And it's been really cool. It's been...
You're just working alone, right? Totally.
I'm working 100% by myself.
Crazy.
And my dad and my friends have all been over there and been like, hey, if you need some help lifting things, like, I got plenty of time. I'm here. I'm strong. I'm whatever. And I keep saying, like, it's nothing personal. I'm really just trying to see how far I can go. Like, there's going to come a point where I need to get some help. But right now I'm like, if I can figure out a way to lift this thing onto that safely, then I want to try to figure it out. And so I've actually spent more time than I probably needed to trying to figure out how to, build. Like, for instance, on the roof overhangs each side 16 inches. And so you have these rafters on the sides of the building that are completely suspended 16 inches off the side, the full length of the building. This is a 20-foot 2x8 as a rafter. So this 20-foot board has to be suspended off the side. And the way that you do that is by building, you take three rafters at least, you cut notches in the middle one, and then you lay a 2x4 across all the way up, and then you nail it down to the middle one in from the outside too. So you make basically three rafters, one big assembly. And usually people do that, I think, in place. So they will put in the 2x4s and then they hold up the outside rafter and then they nail it in from the outside, because you have multiple people, you have multiple ladders, you have multiple, you know, like scaffolding and stuff like that to make that easy. I didn't have any of that. So I was trying to figure out how to do it. And I ended up building those. I made four instead of three, so that the one overhanging was counterweighted by three other ones. So I was sure that it wouldn't tip over and fall off the side of the roof. That was my thinking. So I got four of these things up there. I built it on the roof. This is a very high pitch, single pitch roof. I built the four pieces together as one big assembly. Again, this is four 20-foot 2x8s.
Yeah, that's and I was like, pounds.
Maybe and I was like, pounds? I don't know. Even if I get this put together, I don't know that I can push it to the edge and overhang 16 inches. And so the whole thing was just like, I don't really know, you know. And it was so easy to do. I got it up there and nailed the whole thing together and just kind of like shoved it. I'm like, oh, cool, done. And I just went back and forth and shoved it out. No risk of it flipping over, hanging off the end. You know, I mean, it was like stable and I felt safe doing it and everything. And I got it pushed into place, nailed it down. I'm like, all right. And so just moved ahead and did the rest of the roof. So it's been stuff like that. It's just been really cool because it's new. I mean, like, framing's not new to me. Framing is pretty easy, honestly. But figuring out how to get stuff propped up and then squared so that it stays in place, and then, you know, get these boards on the roof and slide them up in the right place and then get things moved to the right. It's been a lot of little problem solving, and I've really enjoyed both the physical work and just the mental gymnastics of making it happen. So
this is a fault of me, but I really, really love achieving something without help from anybody else. Hmm. And that is, it's totally a fault. And I get that and I understand that. But when I can do something without the help of somebody else, it feels like a win. Like, just puts me in a good mood.
I mean, it may be a fault, but I also think there's, at least the way that I'm looking at this is, it's not about I don't want help. I'm trying to see what I'm capable of. I'm at a point in life, I think we're all at a point in life where, like, certain things are beginning to be harder than they used to be. And certain things I've never done before, I assume I can do, but I don't really know. And so I think this is not about me being strong and doing it by myself, lone wolf style. It's just like, I kind of want to see what I can do at this point. And
See what your self-reliance capabilities are.
Yeah, it's like getting help is getting help. That's great. And I even originally was talking to my oldest son about building this thing together and, you know, trying to teach him in the process of getting his help to do the thing with his schedule and school and my work during the school day and stuff. It just didn't really make sense in general. But I think it's really, at least in this moment, it's not about not wanting anybody's help. It's about seeing what I'm capable of, mm-hmm. because this whole thing for me is like a preamble to the A-frame. Like, I want to build the A-frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to do that by myself. That would be physically impossible, but I want to see how far I can get without having to rely on other people's schedules and, you know, things like that. And I'm trying to find what I can do so that I can get a better picture of, with the A-frame, how much help do I need? How long is it going to take? What is realistic as far as like size? And, you know, I don't want to hire a construction crew. I don't want to get a contractor to do the whole thing. I want to do it as much as I can. So I'm trying to find out where my limits are there, I think, at this point. So, I've been working on that. And then I've also started working on a new Arduino project. And I can finally talk about this because they announced it yesterday. I've got this board, this new Arduino board that they sent me about a month ago. And it is, it's not this one that I'm going to hold up because it's plugged up to a bunch of stuff. So this is a normal Arduino Uno. Actually, this is a knockoff one. But this is like the people think of this Arduino form factor, right? It's got a little microcontroller in the front of it, and you plug it in and you put some code on it and the code runs in a loop. That's how Arduinos work. And so they have this new board that is this, but then you flip it over and on the backside of the same form factor, it has a Linux computer. And so it you can plug it in through USB-C and then you can put a monitor in it and a keyboard and a mouse and you can work on it. It's running Linux. You can like browse the internet and everything, you know, just like a Raspberry Pi. But it's both things on the single board, and it has a new piece of software on it that lets you use both of those sides to talk to each other. So you can have sensors and motors and stuff coming in one side. You can have the actual programming, Python, Linux, webcams, printers, whatever on the other side, and it all can talk to each other. So I've been building a project using that board, and they announced that board yesterday. On a live stream, they also announced that Arduino is being purchased by Qualcomm, which is like one of the biggest chip makers in the world. And they make all sorts of processing chips. But I've been working with new technology that hasn't been out for everybody else, and it's still being developed. So we're still getting, you know, updates every day about how, you know, getting this thing to work like they want it to work. So I've been working on cool stuff, like kind of at my desk and then out in the backyard, you know, swinging a hammer and stuff. So it's been a fun week, and I still have a lot to do on both of those projects.
Yeah.
So that's what I've actually been doing. We did have a topic, but we're like 53 minutes in. You still want to go for the topic, Jimmy?
Maybe we could save it for next week.
We should save it because I think it's a really good topic and it deserves more time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We can do that. With this Arduino thing, I got an invitation. They wanted to bring me to Italy for this live stream that they did yesterday. And
you speak the language.
Nah, a little bit. Yeah. I really probably should have gone. But it was like it was kind of last minute, and my kids have a bunch of school stuff going on, like, you know, it's stuff that I probably could have missed and it would have been totally fine. The kids wouldn't have cared at all, but I'm just trying to prioritize, and so I decided not to go for this quick Italy trip. And I was the only, when they did the live stream, I was the only one of the creators that they're working with that didn't show up on stage.
Oh,
like I sent him a video that talked about my project and stuff, and they showed that in the live stream. But like James Bruton was there, and then there were two Italian artists that I was not familiar with, like content creator type people that were there, and they all came on stage and they showed off the thing that they were working on, and it was really cool. But I was like, man, I really should have gone. Hopefully, in the future, sometime they'll invite me to do another thing in Italy. It just the timing was just not great. But
is that where they're based?
Yes, they're in Turin.
Okay.
Yeah. Which would have been awesome, but I didn't do it. So, well, you guys got anything else for this week? I guess just
Maker Camp's coming up for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Maker Camp's coming up this weekend, and, well, if you're listening, you should be at Maker Camp. And then the following week, I'll be with Derek and a few other people. I saw Izzy's going to be on the bill. Kling Spore Sandpaper event, North Carolina. They're going to be there doing some banjo stuff. So if you're in the area, come say hi.
Cool.
That's it.
Right on. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters if I can find my list. I don't know what I put it in. Oh, there it is. Cool. Well, thank you to the people over at patreon.com/makingit that support us. They all get the after show. Actually, so we had some messages from some Patreon members asking about the main show being on Patreon. So right now, when you sign up at patreon.com/makingit, at any level, you get the after show. Separate podcast feed that's only accessible through Patreon. So they were asking about the main episodes of this show being on Patreon as well. The reason, I'm just telling everybody, I'm answering all the questions at one time. The reason we don't do that is because then we would have it posted in two separate places and the analytics would be inconsistent. So we don't have it on Patreon because we wouldn't be able to get analytics on the listens and the stuff. So that's what we're keeping it all in one place. Main show is posted on our hosting platform and that's why that's there. But the after show is only on Patreon. So everybody gets it at every level, no matter what level of support. So if you're interested in, you know, more of us, usually talking about secret stuff, extra stuff, future stuff, that's all in the after show. So go to patreon.com/makingit, sign up. But there's a bunch of people that support us already, and we are very grateful for them. I want to say thanks to Works by Solo, Warren Works, The New Janky Workshop, Scott, a Daddy Yourself DIY, my dogs are barking, Rich at Lowen Design, Pete Rondo, Odin Leather Goods, Nick Ryan, Michael Meningen, Matthias Garnow, Making with Mog, Corey Ward, Chad from Mancrafting, Albers Woodworks, and A Pretty Big Deal, Inc. But also, people like, let me go down here on a Jit Patel. Thanks, Jit. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the support. Yeah, we appreciate all y'all. You guys got anything to recommend this week?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to Whistling Diesel beating up a robot. Did you see that? He got himself like...
Oh, my goodness.
No. I've only seen like clips of it on Instagram, but I know the video he posted last night. I said the video is up to 5 million views. He got a robot, and he, by the end of the video, the robot's in pieces. But it's like one of these like... looks. Maybe it's a Tesla robot? I don't know. Looks like one of those like Honda. It's like walking around doing stuff. He like programmed it to run through the door of his house as if it was a home invasion, and then he beats it up. So look at photo. That just looks funny.
I don't watch every single one of his videos, but I watch most of them, and they are pure entertainment.
Yeah.
And there's this, I like how he tries to annoy part of his audience.
Yeah.
on purpose while entertaining the other part of the, I don't know. There's a, his videos are fun. I don't know. That dude must be making boatloads of money to spend
It doesn't seem logical.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It doesn't seem logical that he would have so much money to buy all these supercars and wreck them. And it doesn't seem logical. Like, I mean, I know what I make and I'm not buying a supercar, not in this lifetime. I certainly don't have the views he has. But even if he does have that many views, I mean, could he be making that much money in AdSense to be able to just throw it out the door like that?
I mean, he has sponsors and stuff too, right?
He does, I assume. I suppose. Yeah, that's where you would probably make a lot more money in general. But, but like those cars are into the $300,000 and $400,000 and he's destroying them. You don't get that money back when the car's destroyed.
Right.
It's just a one-way trip. I mean, I guess it's an investment in the view count, but I don't know. I wouldn't know. That's a different stratosphere for me and us. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. David, what you got?
Mine's along the same lines. It's how MDF boards are made.
Oh, cool.
it's super boring, but it's also like super interesting. It's compared to Whistling Diesel, it's super boring, but it just goes through the process of like trees being ground up and made into MDF boards. I just find it's a material that I use every once in a while.
I watched an hour long video on watching guys make a chain, so I totally did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think deep in our souls, we want to know how things are made.
Yeah.
Especially the stuff that we use. Yeah.
Yeah.
How often when you see something getting made and then you see how it's actually made, you go, whoa, I would have never realized that. And now you have, it's like, right. It opens up a whole new way of thinking for future project or problem solving.
Every time I see one of those like factory videos where it shows some insane machine that, you know, like takes a piece of pipe and like bends it over this thing and then flips it over and sticks a thing in and expands it and then cuts a thing, you know, and it's all these processes in a single machine that's very custom for a certain thing to come out of it. That stuff blows my mind.
So
I don't understand how that works.
I've been seeing these ads for form labs where they 3D print some sort of form and then a press comes, like you place a piece of sheet metal in there and a press comes down and you can stamp metal and just from a 3D print. And I'm like, ooh, I want to learn how to do that so bad. I don't know what I need that for, but I've just got into using a metal break. How can I now stamp my own metal? So I've been, that's something that's spinning in my brain right now.
Cool. We'll talk about that in the after show.
All right.
Oh, I got a recommendation from Mike Erb over on Instagram. So the channel that Instagram feed that I've never heard of, and it's called Average. Oh, I can't see the guy's name. Average Designed Wood. So it's a guy named Jake Wexler, and he carves like the only thing I've seen so far. This was as of like this morning or last night or something. He carves Star Wars things out of wood, and they are ridiculous. Oh. And it's a lot of like small things on lathes. And he asks people to ask the viewers like, "What should I do next?" And they just like throw out a thing, and then he starts making it. And they're crazy, multiple tones of wood. And then just beautiful little wooden sculptures. And I assume he does other non-Star Wars things as well. That's just all I've seen so far. But he's fun to watch. He's, you know, made a bunch of different things that, like, catch my attention. Like, oh, man. Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's not all Star Wars now that I'm looking through it. Anyway, if you like carving and woodworking type stuff, go check him out. Jake Wexler. Cool. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. See it. No? See you. Cool. In North Carolina.
All right. Cool.
East Durham, North Carolina.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming. thanks for being here, everybody.
So we are live, aren't we?
Love you. Got to tell them that you love them. You can't just coo at them like a pigeon.
That was what I was doing.
Love you. Oh, okay.